Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day! I wish I knew.
300 and I've lost the count.
Oh, right. Okay, we've both got the same problem. Hang on a minute.
Is it 26?
No, I think that was yesterday, Mike. Let me have a look. Oh, what can I say? 327!
Oh, it was close.
Look, it's been a busy week. It's been an even busier day. So, it's 327.
Yes.
How are we all doing?
It's been that.
It's Friday. There you go. That's all we need to say.
It's been that busy that I forgot.
Yeah.
What I should have been doing at 6 o'clock.
What should you have been doing at
6 o'clock? Luckily, I taped it.
Oh, yes. I noticed that, but it was 5 past. And I called you, but you ignored me. Plus the fact, Tesco person. So, busy day. How's everybody else been? Hello, Jonathan. That was a message from Lola, not a typo. Happy birthday. Oh, poor Lola. She's been a good girl.
What about poor me?
Hello, Simon. Oh, Jonathan's popping dinner in. And Two Show Friday. Hello, Kim. Oh, yes, it's going. It's manic. It is manic here, honestly. Manic. Not Manic Monday, though. Manic Friday. Chicken in wine and mushroom sauce with the famous Spanish grains. Don't set Tracy off. She'll have them all DNA tested. They're not from Spain. Oh, that's what they do, though. That's cultural appropriation, isn't it? I used to get stuff that was not very spicy, but it was like beans and rice in some description. I've no idea what it was. Mum got it. And you know what she was like. It was her kitchen and you were not invited. Oh, thank you, Kim. I will pass that on to the lovely Lola. Hello, Paul. How are you doing? Apparently, did you all see my vaccine post? Oh, due for a vaccine very soon. There's only, how many thousand was it ahead of me? No, sorry, it wasn't thousand. Silly me. It was millions. Early on, I'm sure I shared this. We looked at Amazon for dog food. Normally, it was about £3.80 for six tins. And the price had gone up to £48 something. It was obscene. So I got in the queue at Pets at Home. And there was like 10,000 in front of me. And I'm like, pardon? That was ridiculous. Anyway, I did the old vaccine queue thing. There are between 17,180,337 and 20,470,297 people in front of me in the queue. Not today, then. But, according to this, you should expect to receive your first dose of vaccine between the 23rd of April and the 8th of May. You should then get your second dose between the 16th of July and the 31st of July, all of which presumes I actually want one. But they obviously think I do. Hello, babe. Kiva sent you a message. You're going to send one back. You're going to flop like a good girl. She's been like a ferret on heat, as we say here this afternoon. Mike had a webinar, so she was with me. Is it me or is it warm in here?
It is warm in here.
You can turn the fire off. It's only on like a smidgen anyway. Apparently, that presupposes an uptake of 70% in the vaccine. Is that good or not? I heard the uptake had to be 80, but there you go. Get in. So for Kim, they're still only vaccinating people 75 and older. Rest of the country, 65 and older. I've lost track of what they're doing. I mean, they're still sticking to their 9 categories, but they are saying that police, frontline medical staff and teachers should get it first. And I can't disagree with that because, honestly, a couple of years back, before, well, not 2 years, but maybe 14, 18 months ago, it was not uncommon. I don't know if it's the same in the States. Let me know. But what happens here is if you want a holiday, holidays are cheaper when the children are at school. It's literally supply and demand. Which was why my mum went mental when Dad retired, air quotes, from his transport management job and decided to, as they say in the UK, go on the lolly. Now, you may well have no idea what go on the lolly means. It's a lollipop person. They have a stick with a board on it and they help the children cross the road to school. Obviously, people on the lolly have to work school time, which means when it comes to go on a holiday for a few days, you're paying way more, sometimes 60-70% more, because the demand is more, because by definition that's when the children are off school. So we had that many parents with, oh, what difference will a week make? What difference will 2 weeks make? We can have a cheaper holiday if we take our child out of school. So much so, half the schools were empty. So they changed the law and you can't take your kid out of school to go on a holiday. It's not acceptable. In fact, you need a permission slip written in triplicate in blood to get them to a dental appointment. Their argument is these should be done outside school hours. But, you know, there aren't enough slots outside school hours. Anyway, those are the rules. Now, of course, they can't wait to get their little dears back in school. So I think anybody who's taken them out for a holiday shouldn't be allowed to send them back for every day that they said it was OK to have them on a holiday. Right, fine. You're stuck with them now at home. Let's see how that goes. So for Kim, the teachers aren't in school, so they should wait for the vaccine. Ours are and have always been. So while there's this misnomer, the schools are closed. They are, but not to vulnerable children and children of key workers. So basically 90% of the teachers are in.
And the number of key workers is growing by the day.
Oh, yes, the number of key workers is growing by the day. Because they just can't be looking after their kids at home. They can't be doing with it. Why have them? I don't know either. I mean, that's like sticking Lola in doggy daycare. Why would you do that? She's your dog. You look after her. I can appreciate if you've got a job or you've got somewhere you need to be. I mean, could you imagine trying to get Mayor in doggy daycare?
Not really, no.
No, I mean, he was insured for health insurance for pets. But that wasn't the reason we got it. The reason we got it was if he caused an accident, we were insured for $1 million.
So I say it was millions of
pounds. Oh, yeah, it was. And that was just as well the way he went on, because he was fearless. But the thought of taking him to doggy daycare and leaving him, there's no way they'd have coped. He was a unique dog, I swear to you. There was no way they would have coped. Lola's a totally different kettle of fish. I think she'd be absolutely fine. But I gave up work. I gave up going out. I didn't give up working, but I gave up going out to work when Maya arrived as a puppy because, you know, why would you want a dog and then go to work all day, every day? I don't get that myself. So that's why I stay at home. But yeah, doggy daycare. But then you wouldn't be saying with the doggy daycare, can't wait to get rid of the dog, would you? You'd be seeing it as like, oh, fantastic, I've got time at home with a dog. But not so much with children, apparently. So there you go. Instead of teachers, Kim would rather have the grocery workers vaccinated. Anybody on the front line, as far as I'm concerned, but the teachers, you know, if they are at home and they're doing Zoom learning, then so be it. But if they are in school, then I just see that if they don't get vaccinated, this will drag on for even longer. And all you're getting out of them is, oh, but the children don't suffer with it badly. No, but they can pass it on. Because you can't say a child can't pass it on when you're washing your groceries because somebody else has touched them. This is a living, breathing child. Of course it can pass it on, but they don't seem to want to admit that.
I need to go and wash the groceries.
There you go, you see.
Playtime got interrupted.
Did it?
Yes.
Yes, because he arrived, didn't he?
Yes, we had playtime either side of Earth, and it wasn't Wendy.
No, I don't think she does Friday. No. I am not. That's not on that, Kim. There's more and more talk of mandatory vaccination. I'll just pretend I'm dead. That'll be fine.
Anyway, I've got a message for Johnny.
Oh.
Johnny, Carol's beating you into the chat on YouTube, so don't bother trying.
Oh, Jonathan, you're going to have words there, mate. They've definitely said here no mandatory vaccination, but, you know, if it starts dropping into the 60s, I think there'll be persuasion brought to bear. Let's put it like that. Jonathan would give up his vaccine for the police. We need them to keep the idiots at bay. Totally agree, Jonathan. If there's anybody that would like mine, feel free. But there again, given the number of people in front of me in the queue, I don't think there's many people behind me. If kids can't learn remotely, how are they going to cope when the vast majority of jobs are working remotely in 10 years' time?
That is very true.
That is a very good point. Yeah. Have you ever thought, though? I don't actually think it's the kids that can't learn remotely. I think it's the teachers that can't teach remotely.
And the parents.
And the parents. Yeah, totally. Totally agree with you there,
Mike. I had a woman on my course last week. She says, I'm going to have to leave 5 minutes early because I've got to get the kids sorted in one of their lessons.
I think the kids could run rings.
So I said, there are the joys of homeschooling. She says, we try.
The kids can deal with it. But the thing is with kids, they don't like being bored. I was bored rigid at school. God, it was boring. It was bad. When I started teaching myself, whoa, loved it. So leave the kids be. I think you'll find the teachers are hampering the kids. Hello, Paul. How are you doing this Good Friday? Have you got new toys landing or anything?
Anyway, did anybody see... They might not have seen it abroad. I can't spell it. Parish Council.
Yes, Simon's just put that in.
Oh, right.
We need to talk about the Parish Council Zoom meeting.
Yeah, Hanforth Parish Council Zoom meeting.
Oh, apparently it was bad. I've not seen it, but I've read up about it.
Yeah. She kicked somebody out.
I believe she put them in the Zoom room.
In the waiting room.
In a waiting room.
And then two guys kicked you off. And then I heard a dog barking in the background. Must have disturbed the dog.
Crying out loud.
I'm going to send that to the Catenian WhatsApp group.
I think you should do it now. Oh. So it's okay for employers to mandate vaccination. Jolly good news. I work for myself then, isn't it, Kim? Shall we mandate these vaccines? Hell no. Right, that's that sorted. Good meeting that was. I can hear that, Mike.
Tony, the chairman who can remove people from a meeting.
Thought it was scripted originally as a comedy. Afterwards, she realised it was real. I will admit, I'm not on the parish council. We do have a parish council, but I'm not on it. The worst meeting I was in, and you wouldn't think this.
Listen to this.
Illegally, they now elect a chairman.
No, they can't, because the vice chair's here. I take charge. Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
That's bad. Yeah, the worst one I ever attended, you managed to wriggle out of. You had a webinar. But the worst one I attended was one to organise the summer fair. Now, normally there was a guy who did this and he was pretty good. And the reason that he wasn't doing it, he'd been doing it for something like 12 years. And he decided, you know, he'd had enough. So it got passed over 1 year. A couple did it. That one was okay. But they didn't want to do it all the time. So they mugged off. This is what you have to do, you see, with priests. Priests are trained in this to co-opt you into doing it. So no isn't an answer. All right. What are you doing? You're trying to do something or not. So they decided they booked themselves on a cruise. And that way there was no way they could do it. So this lady took the job on. And it wasn't her fault, bless her. But having said that, if you take on the job of, you know, running it, if it's your baby, if you're in charge, you're the last line between the congregants and the priest in relation to the summer fair, then you really do need to have a certain attitude with you and be able to run a meeting. And she was a lovely, lovely lady. But this guy started, and I will admit, it's difficult to stop this guy, isn't it? He was in charge of the furniture, the auction, and the auction usually made quite a lot of money. So you couldn't just kind of poo-poo it. You had to address it, right? We all went round and she's like, what are you doing? And what are you doing? What can we all do to help? And the meeting was going fine. And then this guy started and it was problems like, I've got no one to carry the furniture from the church to the parish centre. Well, so-and-so will help with that, and so-and-so. Right, I've got no one to... And no matter what we said in relation to what he said, he found another issue. And he held the floor for like 25 minutes. People were falling asleep. And every time she said, well, right, OK, then we'll sort that out, he'd come up with something else. But not as bad as that meeting. Whoa, that was a classic. That kind of stuff probably does happen face to face, you know. The guy who was clearly pretending, hang on, he'd sought legal advice. If you question it, you'll receive a molestation order. Try me and you'll see. I need to see this video, don't I? I do. I need to see it. mask guy. Mask guy wants to vaccinate the children. Really? He said it's the only way to get herd immunity. But I didn't think the vaccine was approved for children. So what's going on? No, do you know, the reason that I don't trust what anybody has to say in the politicians is that they're not all saying the same thing. They're not even remotely saying the same thing. As far as I know, they've not tried it in children. It's not been tested. So how can you say that that's a good idea? Or is that just me? Is it just me again? Oh, crying out loud. Oh, bless. I keep getting mails about the affinity updates. Oh, there is so much that's new. Anybody seen all of it yet? Let's put that down and get on. Not now approved for children. No, it's not here as far as I know. You've got to be 18. The Pfizer, the AZ one in Germany is only being given to under 65s. They wanted more stats in over 65s. But the stats in over 65s would be skewed anyway, wouldn't they? Because over 65s tend to die more than 30 to 50-year-olds.
Mm, true.
It might have nothing to do with it, but they just die. I think I'll leave this, because what I'm thinking is they're now saying AstraZeneca will have a new vaccine out by September that works on the new variants. And I'm thinking, is that as well as the old variants, or do we have to have it again? And has any testing been done on the impact of having the initial shot, the second shot, and then more? AstraZeneca are saying the second shot, if the first shot was an AstraZeneca, the second one must be. But the centres are like, well, we'll give you what we've got in. I mean, that's just ludicrous. It's like taking a Mini in and them saying, well, we've got three Mini tyres and this one off a Jaguar, you know, a Range Rover or something. It'll be fine. It'll lean a bit, but don't worry. This is how mistakes are made. Does anybody remember a plane landing in London? I think it was on its way back from Malaga. It was a few years ago. And we've got a friend who works in aviation, ground crew. And everything is supposed to be set in stone. And on this flight, there had been ground maintenance done on the flight the night before. And I think the plane had flown from London to Malaga, but don't quote me on that. I think the maintenance was 27 hours before the calamity hit. But the plane was on its way back from Malaga to London, and I think they had got over halfway. And there was a bump, you know, like when it goes through an air pocket or something. There was this bump, and then it was like a noise of like wood falling over or something. But there was a definite noise, enough for everybody on the plane to be like, what was that? So this cabin crew member was literally just about to go into the cabin, the cockpit. So he managed to get in the cockpit just in time to see that the almighty crash, the noise, had been the window splintering. And it was like it had been shot, and it all splintered from one like point, and then the glass blew out. Only problem was the depressurization sucked the pilot out, because they'd reached cruising altitude, he'd taken his shoulder harness off and loosened but not actually released his seatbelt. But it was the depressurization was enough to pull him out of the window. So all that was left was his legs jammed on the control panel. So this guy who ran in, the cabin crew member, grabbed hold of his legs. And the co-pilot said, don't let go. But obviously, he was trying to get this down to a level that it was less cold because it was freezing up there. And they figured this guy was dead. But there were two reasons for hanging on to him. Is this a joke? No, it's not. No, it's not. This is genuine. This is genuine. Two reasons he wanted him to hang on to him. They could hear his head banging on the fuselage. So he was dead as far as they were concerned. But the co-pilot was, number one, concerned that if they let him go, his body would fly into the engines and they'd all go. And the second reason was, if they did let him go, there would be no body for the family to bury. So he said to this guy, don't let him go. Do not let go. Do not let go. And he is holding on to him for 25 minutes in freezing temperatures. The cabin crew member gets frostbite on his arms for holding on to his legs. And still his head is banging on the outside. So it's not looking good. The co-pilot couldn't hear instructions from ground control because there was too much noise in the cabin. So he pretty much just had to get the plane lower to try and ease the pressure problem, the head banging on the fuselage problem, the temperature problem. Once he gets down to a reasonable level, he can hear ground control, who are telling him where to go and where to land. And he's then telling them what... Has he got some hilarious punchline? No, Simon, this is true, I'm telling you. How could they breathe? They had oxygen, but not enough to get them home at that level. So they had to get down as low as possible. Anyway... 25 minutes, I think it took him 25 minutes to get to London, and it would be the southmost one, which is it Stansted? But they clear the place for them. They've got everybody waiting on the ground. The passengers are in the brace position, you name it. Will they get this plane down? Anyway, co-pilot worked absolute wonders, and yes, he did get the plane down. At which point they were thinking what they're going to do with this body that's half hanging out of the plane. Because obviously there's people there with cameras and stuff. The ambulances came forward. They got all the people on the plane off. They got the staff off. They get around the front. This guy's not dead. He's not in good shape, but he is not dead. So they get him in an ambulance, cart him off to hospital. He's got frostbite all over the place. He's bruised, you name it. Broken bones as well, I think. But basically, the co-pilot worked absolute miracles and got this plane down and no one died. Right. Point of the story being, how did it happen? I mean, it's not usual for a window to just explode and suck a pilot out. And it was nothing to do with the glass. It was nothing to do with the frame. It was nothing to do with the aircraft. When it had gone in for its ground maintenance, they had used a screw to reattach the glass in its frame. That was 0.1 of a millimetre too thin. 0.1 of a millimetre. And it was enough to cause that kind of just complete catastrophe. I mean, okay, the guy didn't die, but he almost did. So when I think of these vaccines, when there's a little too much gay abandon involved. Oh, we've not got the one you had here, have this. If it's not tried, it's not tested, and it's not procedure, then don't do it. And there's an example, 0.1 of a millimetre. And, well, they could have lost the whole plane. It was a miracle they didn't, put it like that. There is an air crash investigation. You'll also find out about it on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and look up something like pilot window, you'll probably find it. It is a genuine thing. This is not me making it up. There was also a UK programme, probably Channel 4 or Channel 5. Channel 5, probably. Let's try Pilot Window on YouTube. Pilot Window. And what do we have? There it is. There is one that is just... it's called The Miracle of Flight 5390. And that is 4 minutes odd. There's another one that's about 5 minutes, etc. I think there's probably a longer one. No, that's China. It was definitely in the UK. According to this, they were heading to Spain. I thought they were coming back. But it's that one there, which is about 6 minutes odd. So I'll give you the link. The basics are the same. 1990 it was. Is that the one I've got, Tracy? Nope, mine's a slightly different one. I watched that one not long ago. But I had already seen the thing. There was a whole reconstruction on it. I think it was like a 30-minute programme. But it is definitely worth seeing, because that's the difference that 0.1 of a millimetre makes. So, vaccines, just have anything you like. I don't think so. Don't think so. I've watched too many of these programmes, haven't I? Because the thing was, these screws were identical. The only difference was there was a slight size difference. And he didn't have any in that were the right size. So he took it upon himself to use the skinny one. Which wasn't the best idea he'd ever had. I don't know what happened in terms of what happened to him. But all the ground crew, every single one of them, the flight crew, every single one of them got some flight medal for getting it down. And nobody injured. An absolute miracle, apparently. So there you go. Lesson learnt. So I am a little bit pedantic. I mean, I've done patch jobs on stuff. Don't get me wrong. Usually something that goes wrong in woodworking. There was once when mum didn't drill a hole in the wrong place. She marked the wood up wrong and I drilled the hole, and then it's like the hole's in the wrong place. And do you know, if you drill a new hole and you take all the sawdust and you mix it together with wood glue, you can actually fill it. So yes, you can do things like that, but not on an aircraft, not with the vaccines, not with things like that, that are incredibly important. But people seem to think you can. So why would we have, it's just questions that I've got all of the time. Like, you know, why are they rushing with this? Why don't they test it a little bit more? If you're going to give it to children, why don't you test it first? I've got another question for you. Very good question. About the Affinity publisher book. Serious, serious question. The Affinity publisher book is new. It was only announced the 30th of November, and then we've had the debacle since of getting it into people's hands. But it was new, and it was announced on the 30th. Now, I think it could have been they wanted to ride the Black Friday sale. But in a way, that doesn't benefit you, because people only have a certain amount of money. And on Black Friday, they've got to decide where they're going to spend that money. Why didn't they leave that till January? In fact, why didn't they leave it till this major new version? Because now all of the features that they've added to Affinity Publisher, not in the book. That's another reason why an updatable PDF would be a good idea. We could subscribe to a PDF and get the updates. They've missed a trick there, haven't they, Mike?
They have.
No, just a point. I mean, literally, it's not... It was supposed to be getting to you on the 7th of December. So within 7 weeks, they've released an update that renders half the book missing. I don't know. Why would they do that? No, you're going to clean the shopping, aren't you? And where's Madam?
Behind you.
I won't move the chair. No, just to point that, it seems really ridiculous. But that's what they've done, which means, will there be a version 2? And would you pay for a version 2? They can't really. Do you know, there's an opportunity here. Oh, I'm on fire tonight. They could have released that book as like a binder, which would have been awesome for taking the pages out and working with them flat. And we could then change the pages when they add new features. Or you could just give us a PDF like we want in the first place. Just saying. If there was a PDF and it was the same price as the book, would you buy the book or the PDF? You didn't get the book then, Jonathan. I think there's possibly enough there for a good few chapters to be added. And I can't understand why, if they were that close to releasing something with this many new features, why they wouldn't just wait. They could sell the binder as well. Exactly, Paul. They could make it a part work. Now, you know what part works were like. The part work was like, oh, look, it's 50 pence for the first one. And then it was like, and now they're £2.99 each. And you need the binders. Before you'd finished, you'd just paid about £350 for something you could have got in a book for £25. And yet, people do it. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't keep doing it. But people do. So I definitely think there's scope for that. They could even do it where the binder isn't a standard binder. And that would limit people from taking them out and putting them in their own things. For example, in the States, there's a company, Happy Planner. We don't really have anything in the way of outlets over here for planners like that. They're disc-bound planners. So it's not a binder. It's individual pages in the back cover and a front cover. And anything else you wish to shove inside it. But the ones in the States either have 12 rings or 9. The nearest we ever had to that in this country was ARC notebooks from Staples.
Ready?
Go on.
Yay!
Oh, good grief, yay! He's got some leaks.
Two leaks.
Shall we go over there and I'll get a picky off you with the leaks? Won't tell you what you look like. Keep them still.
Look at the dog.
She just thinks you're absolutely barking, don't you, Lola?
I said to Johnny, it's like the Lou Lavinette truck, you'd understand. It's the things you shake on Sukkot.
And they're not the ones that stick out of the... No, that's Tabernacles, is it?
Yeah.
Ah, I thought that was Tabernacles. Oh, excellent. So he sat here with two leeks waving them in the air. Like wave a chicken in the air.
Yeah.
The dog's about to have you committed, if that's all the same with you. Absolutely barking mad. So these books, the ones in the UK from Staples, which is RIP now, so you can't buy any more, were called ARC notebooks, and they worked on the same principle. Difference is they're fractionally smaller, so they don't have 9 rings on the small one, the what they call the classic. They have 8 rings. Now, I was very, very lucky because I decided I would buy the Punch, which was £18, which I thought was outrageous at the time. They now go on eBay for about £150 because Staples have shut down and people, you know, everything they bought, once they've used it, that's it. It's useless. You can't get any more and you can't punch anything unless you've got this Punch and they don't sell them anymore. So they could have done something like that and then you just shipped you the pages and you could put them in as and when. It would have been great. Wouldn't it have to have been a binder that actually, you know, a 3-ring or 4-ring binder could have done something like that. That way you could have put your notes in it as well. Do you know what? Every single one of us could have done it better than the way they've done it. Basically, the punchline on this. They refuse to produce a PDF digital version of workbooks. I do. I agree with you, Tracy. I think we're at the point where that's ridiculous. Now, they must know people can rip off their software, fair enough. And they must know that people can rip off the PDFs. But one of the things they've added is this account feature to all their apps. They could have the PDF available from there. They could watermark the PDF with your name. Now, I know you can get rid of it, but who's going to bother? Have I ever done that? I have actually, because there was this book and the watermark was bright red and about 50-point font in the footer. And I did have the ability to get rid of it, and I did. But when they bring out an updated book, you think, is it worthwhile getting it? If it was subtle enough that I wasn't like, oh, I can't look at that, I wouldn't bother. So just watermark it. It's been doable for years. And they're distributing it from their desktop, if you will. Not an automated system online, but I know for a fact this can be done automated online. So why don't they do that? They would sell more. Because I think if you'd been in the debacle with the first one and then the second one and then the third one, every time they do it, it's a mess. you may get to a point where you think, I'm not doing that again. I'm just not doing it. But if they did the PDF thing, I think they'd sell more. So I really don't know why they don't. You could make lovely notes on that. Even at full price, Affinity is value for money. You feel sorry for them if people do steal the software. Adobe, on the other hand, are taking the proverbial on their prices. Tell me about it. But there again, as far as they're concerned, it's for business. Do they expect average users to use it? If they do, it's not for something like InDesign. It's for Photoshop or Lightroom. And for that, they do a Photoshop and Lightroom package. That's just the way they want to go. But, you know, Affinity have made the decision that they're not going subscription with the software, as far as we know, yet. But then they're being very small-minded about the books. We want to give them money, but we want to give them money. I'm quite happy to give them money for the books, but there's two caveats on that. One, I expect it wrapped properly, so when it arrives here, it's pristine. None of them have been. And two, what do you do about updates when an update is as major as this one? This, as far as I'm concerned, is the 2.0. And I wouldn't have minded paying for all these features. Absolutely not. I can only assume they're hanging on and they'll make the 2.0 when they bring out the iPad version of Publisher. Which makes sense. I would expect that this year. The other thing they could do is make the 2.0 integrated with Affinity Lightroom or Affinity Bridge, whatever they decide to do with it. I'm hoping it's more Bridge than Lightroom, or that it can do both. Because there isn't anything at the moment that lets me see my Affinity files in like a browser. Because the file format is not common, so none of them support it. But then you realise, as you've got your hands on this book, and let's be honest, some people haven't got their hands on this book yet. It's out of date. So I wouldn't have complained about the photo one and the designer one, but the publisher one, 7 weeks, and I didn't get the book till, I did get it before Christmas, but it was late. It was 2 or 3 weeks late. Oh, Jonathan would like to have Affinity Aperture. I think there will be something like that, but I think it depends if it's photo management, like a darkroom app per se, or if it's general asset management. General asset management would actually be more useful to me, but I don't know which way they would go on it, but they could do both. Good evening, Anthony. How are you? How's your typing going? Have your fingers dropped off yet? All that typing. My word, you need regular breaks on that. I honestly don't know what they'll do. All they've said is it's digital asset management, a DAM system. But that's not Lightroom, that's not Aperture. That's more broad than that. Could it do both? I think it could. I mean, all you need to do is add the cataloguing, the ability to catalogue by looking, by not actually adding things into a library within the application, just drill through to the file system and support photo, designer, and you know, all the general ones. That would be the way I would like them to go. Whether they will or not, there's no word of a beta. Earliest I would expect to see anything, and I think it would have to be after Publisher for iPad, would be WWDC, because that's what they tend to do. Now, if you remember, Publisher was in beta for a year. Just under a year. They expected it to be like a 3 or 4 week beta, and they got bombarded with people saying it's a great start, but where's X? One of the ones that got me at 1.0 was Data Merge, because Illustrator can do it. Never mind InDesign, Illustrator can do it. So I obviously had genuine practical need to do a data merge. The data merge has been an adventure in the last 24 hours. I'll tell you that. It's like, what's that doing? So Thursday was, yay, new software from Affinity. And Friday, bugs. Yeah, I can break it 7 ways from Sunday, I'm afraid. But the good news is I can actually make it work as well. But the preview, forget it. Don't even bother with the preview. Don't give it a second glance, because it bears no relation to the output. Thankfully, because I spent about half an hour trying to fiddle around with the preview to make it work. And in the end, I went back and inadvertently clicked the button, and then I looked at it and I thought, that's totally perfect. What have they done? So the preview, not so hot. But the actual output works fine. It's coming along slowly. Unfortunately, it's been a paperback on yellowish paper. Oh, dear. Scan quality could be better. Quite a bit of correction to do. It sounds like an old classic. I remember buying a book at university, and most of the stuff that was in it was as old as the hills. This book must have been from about 1952. And there was a lot of lore had gone on after that, but it had the best overview of the feudal system. Where are you? I think she's disappeared again. So the first, I think it was 117 pages, were magnificent. And that was what it was recommended that you buy and read it for. The pages were that thin. you basically had to put white gloves on to use this thing. As you turned a page, bits would drop off. So I feel your pain. Hopefully you're getting there. Hopefully. It's a new book printed on horrible paper. Oh, that'll be one of those biodiverse things, won't it? All eco-friendly, but don't touch it. And don't get it wet. Then it'll just die a death. Oh, this picture of Mike with his leeks. Look at his little face. His little face. Boy with leeks. What can I do with him? I will put that. I'll leave it there turned on. And that way I'll remember to put it in the presso. I used to love it when I would get a textbook that was printed what I call correctly. I hated serif font. I hated it when it was just like a stream of consciousness of text. No headings, no outlines, no bullets, no numbering. There were two books that we were recommended for evidence. Evidence was done in two different ways. It was done as a separate subject entirely, which was 25% of 1 year of your degree. And it was done as an overview in criminal law. So I was in two minds whether to take evidence, but in the end I did. So I was doing the full 25% of 1 year on it. And they recommended these two books. I think one was called Street on Evidence, I think. I think his name was Harry Street. I'm checking myself now. Is it Street on Evidence? Maybe not. I don't know. I think it was Street on Evidence. And there was another one. So my mum's opinion was get both and then look at the differences between them, because that's where the extra points on an exam lie. And she's quite right. So I got this first one, which the name, the authors of which escapes me. And then I went in and I got this Street on Evidence. And I remember it because the cover was black with white text on it. Very, very plain. And that was very unusual for a legal textbook. They all had gone like funky to try and compete for your attention on the bookshelf. And this one was very, very plain. Well, I started trying to work with it and I was lost. It had chapters and it had a chapter and it had a chapter title. So it would start and it would say something like, you know, the rule against hearsay. And you'd think, right, I'm ready. Now, what you're doing as you're working through a textbook is summarising it either in a diagram or a mind map or some kind of way that makes sense to you, bringing some structure to it. And I started reading it and it just went on and on and on. The text was that tiny, you could barely see it. The pages were fairly thin. There was no space to make notes, but there was no subheadings at all. So this chapter rambled on for 50 pages and there was no subheadings. So as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, he's moved on. He's talking about part one now. And I'm like, but I don't know if he's going to go on to part two. Because then he'd say like, you know, and point C. And you're like, just a minute, where was A and B? I was lost. I was totally lost. So luckily, we had two lecturers for evidence. One was absolutely appalling. He gave dictation to people who were in their 20s at university. just photocopy it, man. Don't read it out and expect us to write it down. The other one was nothing short of a genius. And he would give you, as notes, like two, maybe either from one side of A4 to about three. And that was it. And what was on it was a diagram. And it would be like, if it was a statement, if it was made other than in the present proceedings, if it's introduced into evidence to prove it's true, if it doesn't fall into an exception, it's hearsay. And there would be this diagram, and it was so easy to follow. But I was still flummoxed by this book that was impenetrable. Until this lecturer said, which book did you go for? So I said, I bought both, but to be honest, I'm finding Street a bit difficult. He said, Street's impenetrable. He said, but there is a trick with it, if you want to know. I said, tell me the trick. He said, read it out. He said, don't work through it with a pencil or whatever. He said, actually sit there and read it out loud. He said, Street was blind. So he didn't put any structure in it because he couldn't visualise the structure. So he dictated it. So if you read it out loud, as if you were reading it, you know, as a story to a friend, he said, it will make a lot more sense. He said, what I did it was, with it was, I read out the chapter, recording it, he said, and then I'd listen to it on the way to work. I thought, the man's a genius. And that was it. He was blind, so he didn't put a structure in it. He told it like a story. But when you're looking at a book, trying to make sense of it and trying to section off, you know, part A from part B, and then he's talking about part C, but he hadn't mentioned part A and B, you know, it did make a little bit more sense, let's say, a little bit more sense when you read it out loud. So I did. So that's what yours is like. Blocks of text. All right. Justified with loads of hyphenation printed on horrible paper. It sounds about as bad as it can get, Anthony. Is it a long book at all? This Street on Evidence was about 800 pages. It was a bad one. It was bad. Yeah, you sitting there with me. You're not sorting the shopping out with Daddy. Are you going to tell him you've had two dentist sticks? Oh, you're a good girl. Been an exciting week for you, hasn't it? You're denying that, aren't you? You're denying it's been an exciting week. We've got an exciting weekend ahead, that's for sure. Mike's got a four-day Excel extravaganza. So he's going to be in a very good mood. At least it's not as bad as that. 384. I think you need to gamify this, Anthony. What you need is like a progress chart on the wall. And that way you can rah-rah every time you cross off a section or a few pages. Definitely gamify it. I think you'll find with legal textbooks, nobody ever made it to the end of them. I remember when the heating broke at college, we were doing, economics. It was funny because I didn't know Mike then, but he was doing economics as well. And we had these textbooks and, you know, they were huge. They were like doorstops. And we were just looking at them and we worked out if we each read like 20 pages a day for X number of days, you'd finish the book. I swear nobody ever got past the second third of it. Nobody. So you just had to hope that the questions were from the first third of the course, because that was the one you were really familiar with. You ran out of time. I think people do learning different now. From what I've seen online, it's not a case of like going through all of the thing and making notes and trying to bring sense to it. What they tend to do is something called spaced repetition, which we certainly didn't do. And the other thing they do is toggleable questions. So as they're working through it, instead of making notes about it, they ask questions about it. So that example I've just given you about is something hearsay or not. They'd put a question down. So what I would have done in my day was say, is it a statement? That would be the question. But then you'd need to know what constituted a statement and what didn't. And it's not as easy as it sounds. A statement is obviously somebody saying Fred murdered me. Or, you know, Fred murdered Jane. That's a statement. And it is made other than in the present proceedings. And it would be trying to be introduced to prove it's true. That's simple. But what if you'd been stopped for potentially drunk driving? And they give you what used to be called a lion intoximeter test, which is basically the blow into this machine, sir. somebody actually challenged that that evidence was hearsay. And the first thing to decide if evidence is hearsay is it a statement? Well, it's the result from a machine. How can that be a statement? In the end, they decided it was a statement. So deciding what is a statement and what isn't a statement is not simple. So the way that this question thing would work is it a statement made in the other than in the present proceedings? The next question would be, what's a statement? And then what you're supposed to do is think through the answer to that before you open up like a toggle and you've got in like a definition of what a statement is. It's weird, isn't it? That's not the way we did it. But apparently that's the way they're all doing it now. But they're doing it at home and the teachers can't cope. So there you go. You're being a very good girl, letting me pet you. Are you not feeling well? She doesn't usually sit there and let me pet her. But she's at the moment. I'm working through the ear knots at the moment and she's not even objecting to that. How very, very strange. Well, the plan for tonight with the affinity stuff, there's way too much to do in one session. It's an almighty update across all three desktop apps on two platforms. And there are some updates that are platform specific. And all of the iOS apps have been updated as well. So I'm pretty much going to concentrate, I think, tonight on Publisher, because that's what I've lived in all week. It's the Munich thing tomorrow. I have got one that I've worked through with Photo, and I've got a good example with it. But I think the rest will need another session, which is all good news, isn't it? Because that's on top of the general blend mode session, which is coming in March, end of February, March. And the export persona, and might have to add some new stuff now because there's so much that's new here that you could use in very interesting ways. But hopefully, how many have I got on this list? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think I've got 7 on the list. Might have to make mine. And I've also got, of course, the Notion thing. So it's going to be a rush. And because we've got this epic tomorrow and for the next 4 days, we've got to get out reasonable as well. Oh, hang on. Mike! Yeah? Amazon man's here.
Who?
The Amazon man. Just in case he knocks. Yes, because he can't read the note that says don't knock, leave it in the porch. There you go, he's knocked on the door. God almighty, are people stupid. This is because I've got the CCTV on and I can see him. All right, off you toddle. Go away. You could be infected. Bye-bye. Yes, he's gone back into the van now, so I'm quite happy. So who's downloaded these updates? Kim's in the middle of downloading the updates. Has anybody else downloaded them all? I'm not sure I actually have on my iPad. Oh, yes, I did. I did on my iPad, I did. They've all got nice new splash screens as well. They definitely feel like version 2. It's ridiculous. But they do. In fact, I'm now concerned, actually, why isn't it version 2? Because there's definitely enough. And if you think about the version 2 update, what would they be adding? I'm really curious now what they're actually adding. Have you gone in and done any work with them yet, Paul? Or is it a case of like, the icons look the same, I'll leave them be. It's interesting how much has changed in the menus. This is why it is. It's very, very weird. I think it is very strange that this is not version 2. I can only assume they'll go version 2 when they release new apps. Which now 1.9's come out and they've made such a fuss. That's looking like over 6 months, isn't it? Which is most unfortunate. Done nothing. All downloaded, nothing played with yet. Well, you'll be having a go after tonight. You'll be having a go. There's certainly things in there that will work for Tracy. I have tried. You know, you were talking about that. You can create a PDF, but it loses the bullet points when you drag it in. I think this update will solve that. I've done it because it was something to do with the bullets in the font, wasn't it? Did you actually have the font? Or was the problem the fact that you didn't have the font and it was interpreting them? Because I've done it where I've actually, brace yourselves, deleted the font completely. It's one of the fonts I use all the time as well, so I won't want to be without it for long. But I actually deleted it, and what I wanted to see was, did I still have all the characters that I needed? Do I want your PDF or ML? Whip it through, Tracy. Send it through. Had the font still did the weirdness? Sometimes they do. I was putting a dot in. So I wanted this dot. It wasn't an apostrophe or a comma or anything like that. It was a dot. And you can get to it from the character panel. So I put this dot in and it looked fine. And then I changed it to the font it should be. So all the text that I'd got there, and the dot was at the beginning and the end. And the dot changed shape. It wasn't round anymore. It was like some kind of obscure squiggle. And I thought, what gives? And then I realised the interpretation in that font of what a circular dot should look like was like a smudge. It looked like a pen mark. It looked more like a dash. And I thought, I looked at Mike and he looked at me and I said, this got to be ready in 2 minutes. I said, I'll just draw a dot. And I did, and I drew a dot over the top of it. Hopefully this issue will solve your problem. Hello, Mrs. Simon. Just in time as we're heading off. Is Jonathan still about? I think he was sulking that he wasn't number one on YouTube. Carol beat him to it. He was too busy in here with us. And she whipped in. Oh, dear. Send your PDF through, Tracy, and I'll have a go with it. Too much happening outside of the computer. You wanted to see what I showed you on MacBytes After Hours. I'm going to start with, I think, the biggest updates as far as I'm concerned, which will be Publisher. And I will mention a couple of things that I can show you in Publisher are the same in Designer and Photo. But I'll probably do dedicated sessions for Designer and Photo, possibly together next week. Rather late, wanted to say hi. Good evening to you. Never too late. Never too late. Oh, Simon's got an unboxing review opportunity for him. There he is. He's folding the washing. There's an image to conjure with if you've seen one of Jonathan's Zoom sessions. Oh, you ended up drawing dots for the biggest bullet points. Exactly, Tracy. The thing is, with dots, you can place the dots in the vertical space exactly where you want them. You try doing that with all of the options you've got for getting the bullets in the right place, and I'll see you next week. It's a nightmare. You like, I want it there, and so I'll put some space. No, that's moved it. Oh, now it's moved to the left. Sometimes the dots are just the easiest way. But then the problem becomes, obviously, if the text moves, you've got to fiddle with the dots. Goat rental for Zoomies. Yeah, saw that, Simon. Oh, absolutely. Definitely want one. Yep, you unbox a goat's, Jonathan. I'm surprised you've not done it. I really am surprised. It's £5 to hire a goat to come into your Zoom meeting with you. It was on the BBC site. There we go. I am definitely thinking this has scope. There you go, Jonathan. Exactly, Mrs. Simon. Can you imagine if we'd had like a mashup between the parish council meeting and the goats? Many years ago, there was a player used to play for Manchester City called Sean Gota. And the City fans had a chant, feed the goat and he will score. Oh, I loved that at the time. I love goats. Goats are so cute. I love the faces. They're so expressive. Yep, you need to rent a goat. I'm surprised. I'm surprised you've not done it, Jonathan. So Kim says, when drawing bullet points, sometimes they can snap to places you don't want them to and you can't get them in the correct position. That's my problem with bullets. They have a mind of their own. They are far too wound up with the options that you have within the application. So the dedicated DTP layout type of things, which often isn't where you want to see them visually. It's a little bit, sometimes when I'm doing slides, I'll look and I'll have the whatever it is centered in the slide. And it doesn't look right. It is centered. I can see it's centered. I've centered it manually and I can also see the red lines. It's centered, but it doesn't look right. So I move it up 20 pixels and then it looks right. Mum decorated the kitchen and she put this wallpaper on, and she spent the next 5 years saying, that paper's not straight. And I'm like, Mum, the paper is straight. Because, you know, you had a spirit level on it. You had, what are those things called, on the string? That thing. It's straight, Mother. And she said, yes, but it doesn't look it. And she said, what I should have done was, like, place it and then go back and have a look at it and then twist it slightly. Like, can you just turn your head sideways, Mum? Then it'll be fine. But it's true. Something, you want control over where that is for how it looks to you. And they are using features and techniques back from the hot press days, which don't correlate visually. They don't. So bullet points, nightmare. That's why on mine, if you notice my bullet points, they're not round. They're dashes. Because bullet points play with your mind. They always look wrong, even though they're right. A plumb line, that's the one. Alex, a plumb line. She had about five of those. And she tried each and every one of them. And she would stand there and she would put lines on the wall. Many times the lines she put on the wall from the plumb line were that dark that when she changed her mind 5 years later and took the wallpaper off, the lines were still there. Because she was fastidious with that. Oh, she was an expert, even though she didn't do it for a living. Her mum taught her, and it was mainly just due to the fact they couldn't afford it. Gran couldn't afford to have somebody in to decorate. So she taught herself and she taught mum. Funny thing happened twice. The flat that I lived in London, the lady must have been in her 90s, and she had somebody in to do the wallpaper. And it was very 80s wallpaper. It was white with like primary colours on it, red, blue, yellow. And I went in, she said, what do you think? And I looked at it and I thought, paper's okay, but there's big gaps. And I mean, like, it ran out that badly that there was a gap of about half an inch at the top and an overlap at the bottom of half an inch the other way. I'm just staring at it like, and my first thought was, Mum would go mad if she saw this. Laugh of it was, a couple of weeks later, the lady said, why don't you bring your mum down for some shopping up the market? So Mum came down and I said to her, do not mention the wallpaper in the kitchen. I said, she's just had it done. I said, just tell her it looks nice. Mum said, well, what's wrong with it? I said, well, you have a look and tell me what you think. So we went in. Her face was a picture. So when we got into the bedroom later, she went, I see what you mean. It was a mile out. The other one was a guy, I think he'd done it himself. But this was the easiest pattern in the world to work with. I swear to you. It was black, like flock velvet, on a darkish grey background. But the pattern was that big. Somebody with a guide dog could have done it, I'm telling you. The dog could have sniffed out this pattern. It was that big. And again, he'd got gaps on the wall. And I thought, how difficult is it to get that lined up? It's not that difficult. And when we moved in here, the first thing Mum did, literally, we got the keys, which she opened the door and she said, you've got that scraper. And she took off the paper in the front room around the fire. And I said, you know, we've not even got the kettle on yet, Mum. And she said, I've got to get rid of that paper. It was upside down. And she said, it was the one thing with the house. I can't look at it. It was upside down. And when she went to visit my dad's brother and his wife, they just had their house done and they had some flower paper on the wall. And again, it was upside down. And Mum couldn't believe it. And they hadn't noticed. They hadn't noticed that these flowers were upside down. And Mum was too polite to say anything, bless her. So it's a tricky business, wallpapering, isn't it? Very tricky. Oh, Jonathan's tempted to ask them to crash one of his meetings. I knew you'd love it, Jonathan. Well done, Simon. Well done. Right, well, I'm going to head off because it's Two Show Friday. And with all the updates, we've not got much in the way of slides. You can either have lots of pretty slides or you can have lots of demos that work. And I've gone for the lots of demos that, fingers crossed, will work. So that's what we're going to do. But I do need to get myself organised. So for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.